a flat circle. Everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon Delights.
Let's go hour number two on a Monday. Welcome to your new week. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing. Also our man Devin sitting in today producing a little bit. Rocking some Def Leppard last hour. I'm interested to see what comes up this hour. You can always tell a little bit about somebody from the music that they play. Also, Steven is here, one of our new interns. One of our texters says, maybe you add more judges to boxing. I don't know that people will think that fixes it, but I know what you're saying. You want to make it more like a skating or something where you have more judges. Maybe you throw out the highest and lowest or something like that.
In boxing, though, we would just get more of the same.
There'd be more corruption,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
To me,
I get the idea, though.
Yeah, my question today is, if 15 rounds were good enough for Muhammad Ali and George Foreman and those guys, and Rocky and Drago, what about odd-numbered rounds? Why do you have even-numbered rounds in boxing?
I think that makes sense.
I've been trying to figure that out for years. 11, 13, 9, pick a number, but you're naturally setting it up where there could be a tie. That's just kind of weird. But again, I would tell you, if you didn't see Triple G Canelo 2, check it out on the replay. I thought it was a fantastic fight. The story of the fight was interesting. Canelo stepped up in a big way. I didn't ultimately agree with the decision, but it was close in so many rounds. So big credit to both of those guys. We've talked a lot about, obviously, college football. Big credit to Texas for getting a win over USC, 37-14. A lot of texts have come in on the Specs text line, 337-3776. This says, why didn't USC run more jet sweeps? I think they ran one on the first play. It might have been a couple more than that.
I was told that they're not comfortable with that. You want to add stuff that you see on film that can get after a defense, but you don't want to go too far out of the way if it makes you uncomfortable. And their offensive line is such a sieve right now. I mean, USC fans know that. We've only had one USC fan who said, Kevin, you're being an idiot, man. Texas would have been demoralized after that safety, even though they had to punt it back actually from the 8-yard line and not the 20, so you actually got the ball exactly where it would have been and the adjustments were already made. Well, if they would have been demoralized because of two more points, what happened at 14-3? Huh.
Yeah, they reacted pretty
well. Trojans fans, for the most part, know what the hell they're talking about. And they see what they have there. They have individual talent. That's not a good football team right now, though.
16 carries for minus 5 yards is bizarre. Again, if I was a USC fan, that's what I'd be worried about. How do you not figure out more than 16 carries? But Texas got the job done. The responding at 14-3 was big. And then another thing that Tom Herman got into a lot today at the press conference that I thought was interesting was that fourth and goal play for USC. When he could have backed them up, taken a penalty, and made it like third and goal from the 6, or decline the penalty and leave them at fourth and goal from the 1. Joel Klatt made a great statement about it on TV. He says, this is, if Tom Herman does this, he'll be calling Clay Helton, essentially, like a game of poker. Like, I'll call you here, and I'm going to dare you to go for it.
See who made the call, though? And I like this from Herman.
Orlando, ultimately.
Kept on, what do you want to do? Let's do it.
And he talked about that today as well, that he looked, and he said they went over this with the team. His D coordinator looked him right in the face and said, leave him at the 1, we will stop them. And he kind of liked the vibe of, okay, all right, let's go. And they try to run Carr to the edge. I guess, I don't know if you call that a jet sweep, but it was a sweep of sorts.
I thought he was going to get there. Whoever made the tackle also got pushed from his teammate from behind, and I thought it was one of the smartest pushes I've seen in a long time.
Oh, I didn't see that part. Brandon Jones, ultimately knocks him out of bounds. Brandon Jones, who had there was a screw up, I think, of his early, but he really made up for it. He was a beast on that play. It ended up being one of the bigger moments of the game because obviously that I think it was 14-13 at that moment. So USC could have gone up 17-13, or they could have. Obviously, I guess they could have gone up, 21-13 at that point if you score, but you give
them... That was a huge moment.
And you give them nothing. That was really big, and you could tell how big Tom Herman thought it was. They went over that a couple different ways today at the press conference, but nice job by the Texas defense, standing up, bowing up there, and number 19 showing why Orlando calls him the dude of the defense. That was a big play.
Yeah, they made – I like both safeties in this game, in Jones and Marvell Tell. Tell had a nice play like that too, getting Sam on the edge, that mm-hmm. same area actually, on the field. I like Jones a lot. I like the defense a lot. One thing, though, with that USC offensive line, it's really hard to take away how the defense is going to compete against some other good offensive line. Like, I think TCU's got a pretty good offensive line. Oklahoma's got a pretty good offensive line. Reisner at Kansas State's one of the best. I'm not sure how the totality of that line is, but you know they're going to be physical. So you got to continue to get better, but overall, really big performance by Texas, and you got to go back to the adjustments. That's why you can only take so much of momentum out of that safety, which should have been called, as we said. But the adjustments were made. USC was not, with that offensive line, they were not, they had negative 5 yards rushing.
Right.
They couldn't protect. Like, at that point, it was done until USC made adjustments, and they couldn't.
Yeah, and then like you pointed out earlier, not only the Texas defense stepping up there and making a big play, but really, I guess we hadn't really seen it all season long. The Texas special team stepping up in such a big way.
They won all four for the first time that I can remember.
Right.
The offense played better. They won. The defense played better. They won. The coaching, they outcoached them.
Mm-hmm.
And the special teams.
And you, as you pointed out correctly, it was 23-14 at the moment, right, when they blocked it. So St. Brown catches that ball. And every Texas fan is doing the math in their head of, woof, it could be 23-21 real quick here.
But
and then the defense holds.
And in their head, they're thinking that should have been 30-13.
Right, because it's right after the fumble. Yes, you're going in to make it two full touchdowns, and then it goes the other way.
30-14, sorry.
Yeah.
Or even 16 if you're an objective Texas fan like I was. And I'm like, okay, that's 2 points they should have got. But It just felt like it's going to happen again, and they were able to make that stand. Mm-hmm. Got him into 3rd and 12, and Daniels tried to hit Pittman on the sideline, and the coverage they were all over him. Chris Boyd played one hell of a game.
He did. Somebody texted in. Let's face it, USC's not very good at all. Their quarterback should still be in high school. That is the last time we should say that.
Yes and no. Because he's 18 and going to be turning 19. I'll have to check exactly when. Did you have one of those kids? I'm not going to throw the name out here for the kid that was at Westlake. There were probably a couple at Westlake like this, who mom and dad held them back a grade or two so they can dominate in athletics.
That never happens.
So he actually should be a freshman, even though he should be a senior in high school. Make sense?
Kind of, but I've never, ever met those people. I don't
yeah,
know
right.
At all
yeah, exactly.
What you're talking about. This one says, how often did they show McConaughey on the big screen at DKR? I think a few times.
I heard a bunch.
There was a few people there. There's some famous folks there.
We saw him on TV hanging out with Roger.
Yeah. By the way, we're going to talk to Roger tomorrow.
Are we?
Yes.
Awesome.
5:40 tomorrow. Roger is a part of the celebrity softball game for Texas OU weekend.
Cool.
He is heading up the Texas side, and Toby Keith is heading up the OU side.
Mm.
So I want the Texas side to win even more.
Good.
Even more now.
Because now there's a music element for you.
Exactly. So Roger Clemens will join us tomorrow at about 5:40 and talk about that. And plus
Do you ever talk to the Rocket?
I've never interviewed Roger Clemens. No, never talked to Roger. I will duck out of the way and let you ask all your nerdy Texas baseball questions.
Last time I talked to Roger, I was at Pete's Piano Bar with him. Probably the last time I was down on 6th Street.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Was he playing the piano?
No. It was a function. It was a Texas function a couple years ago. And went down there with a girlfriend of mine. And he had a buddy. And he was like, hey, do you want to, we're going to go down to Pete's probably and get another beer if you want. And so we went down there. And I like Roger. I like Roger a lot.
Roger Clemens invited you to go to Pete's Piano Bar?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure I'll get called out for name dropping there.
That's a good name drop.
Should I just lie about it and act like it didn't happen?
No. Okay. You need to tell these stories. In fact, you need to make stuff up sometimes if it doesn't happen.
Well,
I need you to add
so Andy Pettit shows up.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I need.
And then Buddy Bell, of all people, and we get into a Rangers, Astros thing. No. But Roger was a really nice guy.
Both of them sort of battling on piano.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
And then Mike Piazza walked in. Started throwing peanuts at him.
Before we go any further, let's have Kevin tell you about the good folks at Apple Leasing. They got all kinds of stuff going on.
Let's talk Apple Leasing here. I was driving here today and saw two license plates with Apple Leasing. You can always see it, and you go, you know what? You're smart. I'm going to let you in right now. You are a smart person. Affordable, quick. It is smart. You can get everything done at appleleasing.com. Just get online. If you want to message someone, they always have representatives ready to take your questions. So if you don't want to call and you want to do everything online, you can do that. They have rates as low as 2.9%. You can value your trade-in if you have one. Or just take the free lease quote. That's what most people do. You can tell them any make, any model, if you know exactly what you want, or give them a price. And that's what most listeners have done. Some have just done it for S&Gs to see where they sit in the market. And I get an email and say, you know what? Thanks, Kevin. I didn't realize I could be spending less, and this is actually what I want to drive compared to what I was driving. Could trade it in. You got all that working for you. But they're going to help you out and get out of your lease usually and get into another one before it's over with if you really want to drive something else. Give them a call to 877-593-5797 or appleleasing.com.
Somebody texted in that he, JT Daniels, turns 19 in February, had a beard in fifth grade. Apparently, he was held back in fifth grade. This texter says, breaking news, Antonio Brown wants to be traded, SMH. I don't know if that's real, but the Steelers have certainly gotten off to a weird start to the season.
And how about your, are you wearing that for Tampa Bay? I can't even tell what color you're trying to
you know,
go with there.
I guess this could be a little red for the 2-0 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Fitzmagic.
The Fitzmagic Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He lit them up.
One of the great press conferences we've ever seen afterwards. Yeah, it's a crazy start to the season. I can't believe they've won both of these games. Like, it's still freaky to consider it. But, yeah, he's been great. DeSean Jackson was all about the revenge yesterday because of the way the Eagles treated him, apparently. So he had an extra chip on the shoulder. And now, even if Pittsburgh comes back and beats them next Monday, they're 2-1 somehow.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The fact that they're one of the 2-0s. All the Florida teams are 2-0. Do you realize that? The Dolphins, Bucks, and Jaguars are all 2-0.
With the way their colleges are playing, that's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
They need some help down there.
To take their mind off of it. And think about it. That's in beating two of those teams beat the Super Bowl teams from last year.
That's crazy.
Because Jacksonville just took care of...
I thought you guys were going to be one of two
New
teams
England.
That had no chance in the NFC.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was watching this season as a Bucs fan, just like, it's told whatever's gravy.
Watching college football to see... what top three pick you're going to get?
Exactly. Yes. I didn't expect much, and they're given a lot more than I thought. By the way, speaking of tomorrow, I mentioned we're going to talk to Roger Clemens at 5:40. Also tomorrow, we're going to be out at Total Men's Primary Care for the grand opening of their new location in Hutto. We'll be broadcasting from Total Men's off Gaddis School Road. Details on the events calendar at hornfm.com. I think I'm going to get a flu shot during the show tomorrow.
Just are you?
Trying to practice what I preach, you know, telling all the guys to keep in good shape at Total Men's. So I think I'm going to get a flu shot during the show, live on the air. People may hear me scream like a girl.
Should I do it with you?
I don't know. You can if you want.
You don't like needles? I mean, nobody. People used to always say that. You don't like needles? Who likes needles? I don't think heroin addicts like needles.
Now, it's no big deal for me because I just use my dentist theory. I pretend like it's going to be the worst pain that has ever happened in my life, and it's never that bad.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's your dentist theory?
That's the dentist theory. Every time I go to the dentist or, you know, it's surgery, whatever, anything like that, I just pretend like it's going to hurt worse than anything I've ever experienced, and it's never that bad.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So we'll be at Total Men's tomorrow for the show. So we definitely talked to Texas beating USC. Cowboys fans, you get a win beating the Giants, who are a complete mess right now. And then
the offensive line's rebuilt.
Yeah. Ugh, and the Texans.
You know they brought Nate over, and I know New England didn't want him anymore.
Tell you what, you realize this week the Giants play the Texans? That could just be a mess of an NFL game.
That could be. This is going to be a long year for the Texans, you think, here?
I don't know. Like, as a Cowboys fan, I've been...
They're 0-2, Chad.
They are 0-2. I mean, yeah.
Give me the stat.
We know what that means. 0-2 means...
110% of the teams don't even... win another game the rest of the year, right?
Your chance of going to the playoffs is about 11 or 12%.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
If you go 2-0, it only gets you a little over a coin flip. It gets you like 60, 62%.
It's a pretty big number.
Still
though,
good,
man.
Though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets you like 6 out of 10 or a little more. So, yeah, 0-2 is obviously not great. As a Cowboys fan, I've been dreading that game in Houston a few weeks from now. Because I just it feels like such an opportunity for Houston to really lay it on Dallas. I don't know now. Deshaun Watson with that big mistake yesterday late, and Bill O'Brien's already had some screw ups, and then for them to put that on, for them to put something so weird on film that you're not covering gunners on punts and allow a 65, 66 yard fake punt touchdown like that, that's crazy.
You see that play in high school. You don't see that in college.
Right, I couldn't remember ever seeing that play work specifically like that.
So they're going to have the edge of the line, even if it's a DB, go try and take that angle and stop a gunner.
I guess, yeah, I guess so. Because as soon as the
good luck
when the up back catches it and starts to throw, there's a Texan that's completely like pinched in towards the line, and he turns and starts to run, but it's done. The guy takes off, runs right by him.
You're overthinking that.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It was a strange play to watch. And like Rod Babers said, there's an inexcusable quality to that loss, because once we find out Gabbert was going to play, you got to win the game. But Mariota didn't play at all. On Friday, we thought they were both going to play. So no Mariota, couple offensive linemen are out, and Delanie Walker didn't play.
Mm.
I don't care if it's in Tennessee. You have to go win that ball game. If your defense is as good as it's supposed to be, you got to go win that thing. They needed 21 to win the game, and they couldn't find 21 points on the road. That's a tough one.
Just with all those guys out, even when Vrabel was saying we're going to see both guys, what does that usually mean?
Usually it means he knows Mariota was really questionable.
Right. Coach, you said we're going to see both. Oh, he was out here. You saw him.
He was there.
Had the hat on. 8.
Yeah, they tried to go before the game, and he was a no-go. They couldn't do it.
You got to win that game.
Yeah, they got to do it.
That's going to sting all year. It may not. If they win, they're 5-11. It's not going to sting.
Right.
Other things will sting. But if you just with the parity you have in the league right now, Chad, those are the games you have to win.
Yep, that's a big one. That is a big one. If you're a Texans fan, let us know what you thought of it. Specs text line 337-3776. And please let me know if I'm missing anything in that game. I was watching Red Zone Channel. They didn't show that game a ton, so I was seeing the bits and pieces and trying to grab stuff afterwards and reading and looking at the box score. So Texans fans, if there's something else in there that we're missing, let us know. I cannot believe they lost that game.
With you.
Crazy stuff. And the Cowboys did get the win they needed, 20-13 over the Giants. If you're a Cowboys fan, here's how you know you need to be leaning on your defense. Because if you'd scored 17 in the first game, you'd have won. And all you needed was, 14 in this one. This is about Marinelli and that defense. They have to lean on them and lean on them heavy. Get ready to try to win some ugly NFL games. Yes, it is totally.
You guys have flipped.
It's totally turned.
You probably feel more comfortable.
This is how I grew up, yes. I grew up watching more defensive-minded teams and rooting for them. So, yeah, I'm okay with the – I'm okay thinking
– going RC here?
Let's win 17-10, 17-13 if we can. Sure, I'm fine with that.
Jeff Granger is going to coach quarterbacks this week.
Yes, exactly. That is exactly right. I've not thought of Jeff Granger in a while. All right, coming up, we'll get you the big three. All the stuff in the NFL today, including the Patriots still trying to find a wide receiver that they like. They've grabbed an interesting one today. Then we'll talk with Rod Babers about Texas getting the win against USC. 37-14 was the final, and you heard the game right here on The Horn. All right, now I'm really starting to think that my wife told Devin what to play. Like, Devin and my wife.
You think so?
They're right on the same musical line there. A little Inner Sandman from Devin today. I like that. You crazy metalhead?
I do love me some metal.
There you go. There you go. Devin, one of our interns, producing for us right now. We'll go ahead and let that hit. Come on now. Come on. There you go. Also, Steven, the intern, is here. Trey's producing for us. Chad and Kevin with you on a Monday. A lot of craziness around the NFL. That's what happens when kickers miss a bunch of kicks and teams that are supposed to win aren't winning. So let's get you all caught up with some NFL drama here in the Big Three.
The Big Three.
Okay. So First off, the Big Three is brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Just told you about them. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Dan Slaughter, just like I did. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com. Just got a text from one of our listeners who's having a procedure tomorrow with Dr. Slaughter. Best of luck with everything. He says, please tell me, Chad, that there's not a lot of bleeding, and please tell me the recovery's not that bad. And I was able to tell him that because I said, hey, I did the show that day. I'm sure I looked like, you know, a little weird.
You were fine.
With the bandage on. But, yeah, I did the show that day. So no problems.
You always look weird.
I look strange all the time. It was no big deal.
I kind of liked it. It was like Kramer with an eye patch.
So here's the
changed your look a little bit.
The Antonio Brown story today. A former employee of the Steelers tweeted out, AB needs to thank his lucky stars because he was drafted by a team that had Ben. And Ben got AB paid. You know darn well he wouldn't put up those numbers for other teams. Antonio Brown retweeted, trade me. Let's find out. Now, the guy doesn't currently work for the Steelers, but still, we get the point. Steelers are 0-1-1, and they are obviously not playing to the level that everybody thought they would. And how about this for a stat? Rod Babers is in here about to talk to us. I know Rod loves a good stat. And a shout-out to Alex Loeb of LHN, who showed me this on his phone today. Going into that game yesterday, Chiefs-Steelers, in the NFL since 1940, if you score 37 or more points at home and don't turn the ball over, you are 386-0.
That's a big one.
So the Steelers are the first team since 1940 to do what they did yesterday. Score 37 or more in your house, don't turn it over, and get beat. That is crazy, and that's why the Antonio Brown stuff is happening. Also, New England gets Josh Gordon today. You probably saw over the weekend, Cleveland released him, so New England's going to give him a shot. Carson Wentz is cleared and ready to go for week three against Indianapolis, so Carson Wentz will be back for the Eagles. And then the kicking stories. Vikings have waived Daniel Carlson. They picked him up in the fifth round, the kid out of Auburn. He was like Auburn's best kicker ever. Well, he missed big kicks yesterday, including a chippy, like a 35-yarder to win it in overtime against Green Bay. So he's done. And look
Carlson,
at
Carlson, old school?
That's Auburn.
You know that.
Yeah.
He was an All-American there.
He's their best kicker ever, I believe. I mean, he was a stud at Auburn. And now he's gone. Maybe he gets on somewhere else. We'll see. Dan Bailey is now the kicker for the Vikings.
Well, I knew someone was going to pick him up.
Of course. They grabbed Dan Bailey today. Second best overall percentage, I think, ever in the history of the league for Dan Bailey. The Browns released Zane Gonzalez because he missed big kicks. He missed two field goals and an extra point. Maybe two field goals and two extra points. I think that's right because, yeah, it's 8 points that he left out there. They signed Greg Joseph, a rookie out of Florida Atlantic, to be their kicker. The Browns were kind of close to getting a win, but Drew Brees took it away from them yesterday. We've also talked plenty of college football. Texas gets the win over USC. Oklahoma beats Iowa State, but doesn't cover. Ohio State beats TCU, but doesn't cover.
They could have. And I was thinking about all the people that had money on it, and I thought Dobbins may break that. They definitely wanted to. Dobbins wanted to score. He was talking a lot of trash. A lot of those guys, Browning, happy to be back in the state of Texas. And they have six or seven Texans, maybe more than that, but really good players. So they wanted to add a little bit to that. That would have been great to have been at a book for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
The line was 12 and or 13 and a half.
Like,
and at that point, you're at 12.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And then, to sit on that. That's crazy. Also, the big one over the weekend, the big upset was BYU beating Wisconsin in Madison. Another missed field goal situation late in that one.
That line was stupid.
And Wisconsin's got a pretty damn good kicker, too. 24-21. What was the line in that?
It was 22. Anyone that touched that. Wisconsin just doesn't cover stuff like that. And that was one of the games we told you to watch out for. We told you to watch out for Notre Dame-Vanderbilt. We knew there were going to be some upsets in this week. That's the beauty of college football. It's trying to figure out which one and then watching Saturday, and poof, there it is. LSU-Auburn, to me, was the game of the week in college football.
That was a hell of a game, too. Yeah, Notre Dame survived the scare from Vanderbilt there. They are 3-0 and still sitting at, like, number 8 in the country.
It feels a little bit too high, but I'll take the 3-0.
Yeah.
That's the key. you're not going to be a finished product. You may not look great right now. If you can get through with wins on that, that and survive week to week, you just got to make sure you're getting better. Notre Dame's got to get a lot better. I am worried about the offensive line, the technique, some of the stuff that Brian Driscoll's talked about with Harry Heastin now trying to get his retirement all set up in the NFL. He's got a couple years left to get the pension. But you can see that, that's – you've also lost two top 10 picks. I get that. But they've got a lot of talent there, and that's going to have to be what leads them. I like this defense. This is an athletic, good defense for Notre Dame.
There's your big three. Let's bring in Rod Babers. We'll talk some Texas and USC, but also some other things. I'll admit, guys, one game I did not get to peek in on was Oklahoma State handling their business against Boise.
That surprised me.
I wanted to watch. That wouldn't have surprised me. I picked Boise in that one.
44-21. I'm interested to go back and watch that and see exactly what
Boise's D-line supposedly is legit. Like, Boise's D-line is supposed to be the real deal.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And really, that's what we talk about with USC. It's USC gave this game up in special teams and handed it over, and Texas took advantage. Oklahoma State blocked two punts, one for a
touchdown.
There you go.
Special teams playing a big role.
Obviously a huge special teams moment there for Texas going up 30-14 at that point, and a record crowd at DKR, which was big. So, Rod, as we look forward to the – obviously we knew this four-game stretch was coming. Texas gets the win here. We know what the next three games are and how tough they could be.
Yeah.
How much do you carry into the next game – realistically off of this? Like, how much does Texas get to carry from this game, and how much do you go, but USC was X, Y, or Z?
Yeah, I think for the fans won't carry much of it over into this next stretch. It'll be like that Notre Dame win was. I think now, looking back,
we're already getting that
the Texas is back thing, that's like, well, yeah, no, Texas wasn't back. This is a good quality win for Texas, but Texas football is far from being back. There are still a lot of things they can improve on. What I liked about it was it seemed like from that Tulsa fourth quarter that we're starting to see Sam Ellinger take ownership of the offense. So something's going on, and we don't really even know what, because nobody cares about who's calling the plays when we're winning. So nobody's asking about who's calling the plays anymore. I still want to know, but apparently that's like a petty question.
I'm still with you.
I want to know. Like, I'm
not proud
curious.
Of it. I'm not proud of it.
I'm petty that way. I want
to
know.
But I want to know what's going to happen to Brooke and Below Deck too. I mean, it's kind of one of those things.
There you go.
I'm not saying I need to know, but I want to know.
I want to know exactly. But I'm interested to see, because I think there is a transformation happening. There's a transmogrification happening. And I don't know if it's
Sam. Rod?
I know.
Wow.
I mean,
pulling that UT degree.
And you know what? I was reading the other day, and I saw the word. I like the word.
Look,
it basically just means, it means transformation. Is another way of saying it.
Okay, okay.
But anyway, I something's going on. Either Sam's taking ownership of the offense, or the coaches have now started to, now that Sam's their guy, they're not going back and forth between Sam and Shane. They're starting to tailor the offense to his skill set a little bit. And I like the fact that they were running him early on design runs. So that to me is the most crucial element of this evolutionary process of the offense. Is it Sam taking ownership, or do the play callers now have a more familiarity? Do they now have a better sense of Sam as a quarterback and know how to utilize him? I don't know what's going on, but I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
I knew what they were trying to do in that game versus USC. I knew it. I could see it. I could watch it and go, okay.
Oh, you're picking on Langley and Brown.
Yes. All right.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
You're going to move him over here and do that. Oh, okay.
You're throwing it deep. You want to put pressure on them. They're going to go man-to-man. All right, so you want to see my guy can beat your guy in 50-50 balls. I saw that. I saw Sam Ellinger as a running threat. I knew that they were doing that intentionally, right? That was the design run plays for him. So some things you can kind of see. Like you said, they were working the middle more. That was obvious.
A lot more.
Actually,
they threw two slants in a row, Rod.
How do you like that?
We've been saving it. We knew it would be open across the middle. We knew you weren't looking for it.
It may not be open next week, but damn it, it was open this week. So, yeah, now I'm starting to see patterns and trends, positive trends with the offense. That's to me what I'm really excited about that.
I'm very excited about it. I'm completely there with you. Here's a guy I don't think through three games we've talked about enough, because you're trying to figure out other things with the offense. I did not think this guy was going to be this good as just a running back. Trey Watson's a good running back.
He is a good running back. Yeah.
Not he's great, got a, but he's a he, for what this team needs, he's going to be valuable.
He's got a burst.
Not great, but good.
It's not great.
Not great, but good.
And not a piece of crap. He's Selvin Young.
Not awesome either.
He's Selvin Young. He's Selvin.
Wow.
Young. You know what I mean? Like, he's not.
Okay. A little more versatile, but that type of role, I know what you're saying.
Now, Selvin would be a little bit hurt by that comment that he's not as versatile.
Selvin. Selvin.
He wasn't utilized by Greg Davis.
Selvin, outside zone, you're getting it over Trey. Don't worry. There are some carries I'm giving to you over Trey, all right, man?
But I see your point. But you get what I'm trying to say. Like, you know what I mean? That role that he's playing there with them. Keontae Ingram, he's the guy whenever he comes back. But, hell, if you needed to start three games with Selvin Young, you could do it. And you wouldn't, you know, the fall off wouldn't be that dramatic.
Shanahan found that out. You forget how good Selvin Young was with that zone scheme in Denver.
Yeah, and exactly. And right system, too, for the right quarter, for the right running back. So, yeah, I like Trey Watson has brought to the table. It's been unbelievable. If Daniel Young didn't fumble, I think we'd be saying the same thing about how pleasantly surprised we were with him, too. But the fumble. Yeah,
he fell on an ass. If he doesn't fall on an ass, then he's down.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
It was a hard ass.
It was a hard ass.
Even taking
it's
that play,
big ass.
Even taking that play into account, what did you think of him overall? What do you think of him moving forward, especially if Ingram can't go this week?
I do. I think he's going to have to play a bigger role. You know that. And he brings another element to the running game, that power element. I know Sam brings it, but you don't want Bam Bam Sam running over linebackers and DBs. Daniel Young running over linebackers and DBs. I think you'd much rather that. So, yeah, he's got to play a bigger role. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them, you know, try to, you know, dust off another running back here pretty soon, because we don't know Keontae Ingram's status and how long it's going to take. Hopefully it doesn't take that long, but
Carter?
I don't expect Keontae to be ready for this game. Like, I don't know.
Questionable today.
Questionable. To me, I don't think they rush that. I think that you look at the other guys, the young guys. They've been taking it easy with these younger guys. They're DeMarion, Overshown, the younger guys. They don't want to rush them.
Yeah.
Why would you rush a younger guy into injury unless you desperately need him? And you could argue that you probably desperately need Keontae Ingram.
So I know the type of player you were. If you're on the field and let's say you're playing against Texas and 21 comes in, especially like in maybe third and short, he's going to set the edge as a blocker, right? I mean, isn't that one of those personnel tips that already you're going to look at Kyle Porter and say, this is going to be a run, and he's blocking?
Yeah, pretty much.
He ain't the runner.
No, I agree. You don't want guys to be too compartmentalized, but that's what Tom Herman said that about Daniel Young. He didn't want him to be a guy that only brought in for short yardage and goal line.
Yeah.
So I understand some of that, but he has limitations, Kyle Porter does, physical limitations. And I think that is ultimately why he is he's typecast.
Great block, though. Great block on that fourth and two. Took his legs out.
That was good stuff.
Corner was there. First down.
Kyle Porter's going to give you everything he's got.
Yep.
One offensive stylistic thing I want to see if Texas does after watching the Ohio State-TCU game. Ohio State, at times, found big screen opportunities.
Screen game.
Because TCU comes so fast on defense. They caught him a few times with screens. And kind of to Trey Watson as well. Can a guy like that, can Daniel Young do that out of the backfield? Maybe Kyle Porter is one of those moments, but they got to maybe find a couple guys to get a little screens, because TCU is going to bring it and bring it hard on defense.
I like the old tight end slip screens.
I love that.
You know, the delayed release for the tight end, like he just blocks for like a half a second.
For Beck,
and then he releases. Chris Warren did it last year a couple of times from that H-back row. I love that. I'm with you on that. I think the screen game, you got to get really, really versatile with it. I would like tight end screens and running back screens. I like that kind of stuff.
I'm with you, and it's also one of those, it's like taking a deep shot. Even if it doesn't work, it can still help out a little bit.
Exactly.
It can still
plant the seed.
Slow you down just a little bit.
You planted the seed. That's all that matters. Yep, no doubt.
Did you guys like the deep routes to Duvernay and Jerod Hurd? Obviously, the one to Colin Johnson worked really well. Did you like those other two?
I love the one to Hurd. Because once again, they were whoever that guy was, 24 or 9, we're coming.
Yeah.
We tested 8 a couple times. He really has his stuff together his senior year. Come on, I know you were 3 and done, but congrats. Right. It's only a year later. You're going to make some money. We're going after these two guys. Colin Johnson, what are we doing? We're going Roderick Anderson. I'll go BJ Tyler.
BJ Tyler.
You know, how about that? BJ Tyler to Albert Burdett Alley.
Wow.
We talked about. Just play basketball with him.
With that
and
guy.
Then when you get Jerod Hurd in on that guy, what are you going to do? We're going to test him down the field.
Just try to go. Just got to go right by him.
Even though it didn't work, I saw what they were doing, like Rod was saying, and I thought, I get it.
If it don't work, okay.
It's okay.
But the thought process, to me, it totally made sense. I think too many times we watch the offense and we're frustrated because the thought process makes no sense.
Right.
It's like, well, why would you do that? That didn't make sense. Why would you run the double reverse? I don't get why'd you do that? You were doing just fine. Now we're starting to see more practicality. It seems like the offense now just makes sense to me. I think they're just working with their strengths, or working within their strengths, I should say.
That is Rod Babers. Rodcast is weekdays, of course, 1 to 3. And we talked to him each and every day, 3:30 and 4:30, a little extra Texas football talk. Coming up, we'll get you an afternoon blitz. If you want to jump in, 447-3776. Get in line if you're not already there. And then Kevin's got a little one and done for you. Don't move. This is The Horn.
The Blitz.
All righty, afternoon blitz time, 447-3776. Let's see what it sounds like on a Monday. First blitzer, you're up.
Shout out to Randy Crystal for missing that end zone play, safety, Longhorn play of the day.
Was that Randy Crystal?
Is that Randy?
Wow, it's a name I haven't heard in a while.
The booth has to get that. I was shocked when they came back. The booth has to get that. You have to call that a safety.
Yeah, that was crazy. Blitzer number two, you're up.
Hey, Todd Orlando, we want to talk to you. Fight on.
No. Oh, hey, keep your hands off. I don't want any real estate being purchased down here either. Like, that hasn't happened.
Yeah. Blitzer number three, you're up.
Hey, how about I be messaged, Jay? Good offense, good defense, but too many penalties, so... Win is a win, but you better perform better against those teams in the Big Ten. Big
yeah.
That's it. Michigan, Dan.
Big Ten, not looking as great as as we thought here, no, you know?
Michigan got by SMU. They're about the only team that won in the Big Ten this weekend, aren't they?
Ohio State.
Ohio State,
yeah,
and
I mean, that's it. But, yeah, they didn't look great. And stop me if you've heard this before. Their offensive line's not very good.
Oof, man. Blitzer number four, you're up.
Yo, Chad.
Yo.
That was pretty cool with the Bucks to let great value Conor McGregor take some questions yesterday.
Hey, man, I'm telling you what.
We got a text on that. He did look like him.
When I heard that Conor McGregor wanted to play in the NFL and was going to quarterback my Bucks, I got excited. I've always loved Conor. I thought it was great.
You guys have to go see what Fitzmagic looked like in his postgame.
That was great. And finally, blitzer number five, you're up.
USC freshman quarterback. I wanted to rub their nose in it, but all I could find was a dried up cow patty.
And that's the story of Mike Matheny.
Texas had them worn out. They sat on it for a quarter. They could have put up 40 easily against that team. 40-something.
Yeah, they did a good job of that's a good time to go no tempo. Less tempo.
Yeah, no, they
just grinded it out.
They just sat on it.
Yeah, they did a good job. 37-14 was the final score, thanks to you for the blitz. We'll get you one and done here in a second after Trey tells you about the goodness of Coors Light.
That's right, guys. Coors Light is delicious. It's also the official domestic beer of the Texas Longhorns. I had the pleasure of going over to the Coors Light Silver Bullet Bar on Saturday at the halftime. Texas win over USC. Every home game, they actually bring a former player over there to hang out with the fans, sign autographs, take pictures. And this last Saturday, it was Aaron Ross. Sonya was there as well, and they even brought little AJ out. Ooh. So I got to take a picture with Aaron, Sonya, and AJ and tweet that picture over to Kevin to let him know that not only is little AJ moving around like a two-year-old, and he's 13 months right now, he's also got
walking and climbing.
Better hip movement than what you and I had in our 20s, Kevin. But that's something that you need to make sure to check out at halftime of every Texas home game. And it is brought to you by Coors Light. That Silver Bullet Bar, a great place to hang out. If you're looking to catch a break from what's going on in the bleachers but still be able to watch the game, you can do that over there. And also make sure to download the Coors Light XP app while you're at it. And if you're planning on having a few Coors Lights tonight, tomorrow, this weekend, or any other time, or any beer for that matter, make sure that game plan includes drinking responsibly. Use a designated driver or take public transportation. Take the pledge to get home safe. Together we can all enjoy the game, prevent drunk driving, and keep our community safe. With great beer comes great responsibility. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right.
Did you see the pic?
I've not seen the picture yet. No, I need to see it. Was
Looks
it on
full of vitamins?
Is it on your Twitter?
The
your
kid
Twitter?
Is in both
Twitter?
Of ours.
Okay,
both of ours.
Let me go check it out.
You know what he looks like? Out. He looks like the anchor, the oldest brother of 12 to 18 Ross kids.
You're very.
I want a city, y'all.
Very excited. That's crazy. They had the kid out there. It's very cool.
I got to laugh with Sonya a little bit while Aaron, and Aaron, by the way, is so gracious with all the fans that
really
walk up.
Great.
And Sonya was awesome with anybody that walked up and chatted her up as well. But it was just funny because little AJ is at that age right now where he is trying to find any and everything to get himself into. And just the tiniest bit of space just to break away from mom or dad. He's all about that right now. So she was actually having to do the parenting thing. And, of course, she's a world-class track athlete, so it wasn't too hard for her to track him down.
You're not going
to
get away. It's going to be a couple more years before he can get away from either of them.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's a great pick.
Isn't that a good pick?
A great pick.
Cute kid.
That's one of those things. There aren't many kids where you can say this, but when that kid can outrun both parents, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a massive moment.
Right.
When I could outrun both my parents, it meant nothing. It meant absolutely nothing.
Jeffrey Jordan just beat Michael this last year. And Michael lost so much money on it, he forced him to play till 4 a.m. until he beat him.
Then Michael drafted him, and it was a bad move.
Right.
Yeah, didn't work out so well. All right, let's get you your
Michael drafted him. Oh, God, I could see that.
Let's get you your first one and done of the week, shall we? One and done time, kids. Come on now.
One and done brought to you by Austin's Premier Poker Club, Texas Card House, September 18th. Join Mel from 104.9 for a special event benefiting Philanthropic with a $500 poker tournament. Visit TexasCardHouse.com for more info.
That's right. That's tomorrow. Definitely check that out. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Okay, I called for it all last week. Wanted to challenge the Texas wide receivers. They have not lived up to the hype or to what I think their individual talent can be. And some of that was run blocking, some things that we saw that's just want to and toughness. We hadn't seen it. Well, we saw it not maybe as much as we want to see, which would be 100% of the time, but we saw a lot more of that. Better run blocking from the receivers. It did open some things up. It even helped out you guys whenever Colin Johnson gets a block and little Jordan Humphrey says, I'm taking off. He had four catches, little Jordan did, for 84 yards and that touchdown. Colin Johnson played really well. They really wanted to get him going early. I get the sense he's one of those receivers that you have to get going early to keep him in this thing. They also matched him up well. I thought they did a much better job, not only of their route concepts, but of getting guys against specific personnel and then doing what they do well. So you throw the jump ball and let Colin Johnson use his size and his playmaking ability to go up there and snatch it. You do want to get Jerod Hurd and our boy, who am I thinking of? Who's a slot guy?
Duvernay,
yeah, and Devin Duvernay. You want to get them on nine routes. You want to get them going. I really like the route that Josh Moore ran. I thought that was impressive. That's the only catch he had. Andrew Beck had a couple catches. He's been able to add, and I think they're only going to be able to add with better receiving tight ends and Brewer, and whether we see Leto or not. So there is some talent there, but more importantly, the toughness was there. They blocked better. I thought that they went up and stole some 50-50 balls. I like the way the receivers played. They continue to play like this and continue to block like this. They can be a strength of this team because they should be a strength of this team.
Texas wins it 37-14. If you have any thoughts that you have not yet shared, share them with us. Specs text line is 337-3776. We'll continue to talk Texas and USC. All the other breakdowns from the weekend, the big college games, LSU and Auburn going right to the end. And did you hear the story about the kid that hit the kick? We'll tell you that. Plus, did you hear the story about the guy who decided to retire from the NFL during an NFL game? That happened over the weekend. We'll get to all of that. 5 o'clock hour coming right up. This is The Horn.